Today on Locked On Red Wings, Detroit applies the pressure to UC Saros, but he does not break.
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's the host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Scotty, the Red Wings today fell, or yesterday, by the time people are listening to this, fell to the Nashville Predators 2-1 at Bridgestone Arena. And I mean, let's face it, it was a really good game by the Detroit Red Wings. And it was just one of those ones where it doesn't fall your way.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. Like this was you got goalied a little bit for sure. That's one of the best goalies in the league over there that you were going up against, but you outplayed them in a lot of areas, if not all areas, maybe outside of goaltending, and found yourself on the outside looking in. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a lot this year. There are some games that the Wings have had where they've gotten pretty heavily outplayed but been able to win, especially during that West Coast Canada winning streak that kind of put them in the playoff hunt there. That was a lot of only winning on the scoreboard but winning games. And you know, now we're getting kind of the flip side of that with this one, which we literally talked about at the end of yesterday's episode. We were like, oh, you know, we may outplay them and lose just because of goaltending. And that's sure enough, that's what happens.
So. Well, I mean, I just want to point out, I took the under in that game, under 5.5. So you took the over. You know, I got that one right. So
that's a little humble brag. So did you win money on it?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. We still have yet to actually have proof of you saying anything on air that wins you actual currency.
Because the actual bet I placed, too, with Tayshaun Thompson didn't work out either. So.
This is my surprise face right here.
Okay, but all right.
Yeah,
plus, the Tampa Bay Lightning had plus odds to beat the Devils on the road, and they did. So I won that bet. All right?
For sure.
I hate you so much. Anyways, no, but this game was exactly a mix, in my opinion, a perfect mix of my frustrations of playing the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple weeks ago and the Islanders a couple weeks ago, where it's so you got the goalied aspect and then you have this suffocating, boring ass game that comes with playing a team that is defense first. And I don't get me wrong, I'm jealous of how good that defense works. And UC Saros had to make still 37 saves or whatever the heck it was by the end of the UC Saros had to make 28 saves at the end of this game. But it wasn't like the quality of those shots outside of a couple of huge chances were all that good because of the fact that every time you entered the zone, the Nashville Predators pushed you out to the outside and then immediately the Red Wings would take shots from the outside and they'd get blocked by Nashville Predators. It felt like, I think they had 18 blocked shots, which isn't too many more than the Red Wings had. I think the Red Wings had 12 in this game, but it just felt like every single time the Red Wings shot the puck, it was from outside the dots and it got blocked or deflected wide. And then the saves UC Saros had to make were just like routine saves outside again of a few really good opportunities.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was the early on in the game, there was the like Kubalik one timer on a 2-on-1, and then there was a Raymond like snipe that he had right in front of the slot, a nice little one timer for him where he went down on one knee and could have scored. And kind of outside of that, I mean, it was a lot of, and you know, to your point, like it was, you know, just building off your point, I guess, you know, it wasn't even as much like, yes, they did get shots off and a lot of them were just kind of low quality, just getting a shot on net. But even for a lot of the game there, just zone entry period was just kind of in shambles. I mean, there was, especially at the end of that hockey game, like you're supposed to be applying a ton of pressure. You're trying to claw back into it. You were down one goal at one point with a couple minutes left. Like And they just weren't able to get the puck over the blue line without doing a dump and chase thing. And so that's why, I mean, there was no rhythm. There was no real attempt when you brought it within one goal, right? Like you had that possession when you were down two, and then Chiasson like buries it and you're, well, you know, kind of kicks it in, and then you're down a goal with whatever it was, 2 minutes left. You pull your goalie with about a minute and a half and you just had like nothing. It was pretty much no zone entry when it mattered. And for honestly a lot of the game. And so they resorted to either dump and chasing and just kind of trying to fling the puck on the net, or as you said, just kind of going around the outsides and just kind of getting a puck on net and seeing if something could happen.
Well, and that was the bizarre duality of this game though, too. Like they struggled to get in the offensive zone. And when they did, they struggled to get like high danger shot attempts off, but also in the offensive zone, they were really good at protecting the puck, but they would go several minutes on end where they had puck possession. And that was led in my opinion by David Perron and Lucas Raymond, who I thought on wing had phenomenal games offensively. And it's reflected in the expected goals for percentage as well. I mean, David Perron had a 1.12 expected goals for, and Lucas Raymond had a 1.26 expected goals for, and both of them with an impressive 0.08 and 0.18 expected goals against for a 93% and 87% expected goals for percentage total at 5-on-5. And, you know, you talk about that, why their expected goals against were so low, because like neither of those guys are necessarily known as like defensive stalwarts offensive as forwards, but it's because when they had the puck never left the offensive zone. So of course the expected goals against were going to be low. It was crazy with the fact that they struggled so much to get in the offensive zone and struggled so much to get high quality shot attempts off in the offensive zone. David Perron and Lucas Raymond in the offensive zone, I'm saying offensive zone too much, but in the O zone were just so good at protecting the puck and creating opportunities and passing lanes. But just that Nashville Predators defense stifled every opportunity those players had to try to move the puck off their stick.
Yeah, Raymond especially had Raymond might be the only exception to this conversation. He actually had a couple of high danger kind of in the high slot or even right in front of the net opportunities and just couldn't find the back of the net. But yeah, it wasn't, you know, they had volume. They had a couple of high danger opportunities, even if it wasn't a high amount of those. But they had volume in total, and that's just what a really staunch defense paired with, you know, arguably the best goalie in the league this year is gonna get you. I mean, this is pretty par for the course for a lot of Preds games this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just like I said, it's that frustration I had. And yeah, it's not like I thought the Red Wings played well. I think they outplayed the Predators.
But is there anything more frustrating in hockey than getting shut out when you outshoot your opponent by like 12? Like, I mean, no, I think when you outshoot your opponent by double digits and you get, I mean, obviously we scored there at the end, but when you get shut out for 90% of the game and you end up losing, but you're clearly the better team. I mean, that's one of the most frustrating parts of hockey is the fact that that's possible, but
it absolutely is, and I got to give credit to the Predators for that boring-ass game they made us watch, because that was some grade-A defense they had, and I got to give credit to UC Saros, because again, like I was saying yesterday, he's going to be a Vezina candidate for years going forward. Unfortunately, I do think it's going to be a Linus Ullmark year just because of how dominating the Bruins are as a whole.
Yeah, for sure.
But he'll be in that conversation this year again.
For sure, and the thing about them, man, is like, Their forwards are just even so good defensively, and like that goes back to kind of the zone entry and like the pushing us to the outside starts, you know, in the neutral zone, like way before we're at the blue line. Like that's already kind of established just by, you know, defensive presence of forwards and formations and stuff. It was a very, very tactically impressive game by Nashville for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, because there's actually, again, the Red Wings played really well, so there's a lot of players I think deserve props in this game. Yeah. You know, honestly, Scotty, Adam Ernie, we'll talk about him. He didn't provide a lot on the score sheet. Nobody did, but I thought when watching him play, I was like, this is a guy who doesn't want to get sent back to Grand Rapids. And I love it when players know what's on the line and they play up to the up to the minute. So we'll talk about that. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the midway point. It's over the midway point of the NBA season. Let's update that read. And it's perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything from the money line to point scores and threes drain. Now, Scotty, I already told you. Everything is already in the books, so yeah. There's nothing up in the air. I already told you that the Red Wings, I bet on the Tampa Bay Lightning money line, and I made a little bit of money on that. But I immediately lost it because I bet on the Red Wings money line because we talked about it yesterday. That plus those plus odds in Nashville looked a little bit too sexy, and, well, they were because I bet on it and lost. But I went 1-for-1 today, but I couldn't have even placed those bets and broke even if it weren't for FanDuel Sportsbook. But that's the nature of gambling. You love it. It's fun. Put a little bit of money on it. It helps you keep invested in the NHL. Now I'm keeping tabs on scores all across the league. And FanDuel Sportsbook helps keep me invested. With FanDuel Sportsbook, it even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockdown. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Segment 2, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. We're breaking down this 2-1 loss to the Nashville Predators, but we're not too broken up about it because we think that the Red Wings came out and they outplayed the Nashville Predators and just got goalied, as that tends to happen from time to time. I kind of teased it, but I do want to talk about Adam Ernie. And as you like to say, Scotty, give him his flowers, because that man, he only got 8 minutes at even strength in this game, but he made the most of it. He was buzzing out there, laying the body, forcing turnovers. The amount of turnovers he forced via forecheck was impressive. And I love it when I get to see players who know that they could be on the chopping block, so they play extra hard, that extra edge, and just create opportunities for the team that they're on.
Man, ever since he came back, he's been throwing the body around. And you know, that's been kind of needed. We traded away a lot of our physicality and size. And like, this team already lacked that. Even when we had our physicality and size, they already lacked physicality and size. So, and not that Adam Ernie's a huge physical presence or anything, but him going out there and I don't know if I know before he got sent down, he was leading the team in hits. I don't know if he has the chance to reclaim that title or not, but I love me some Adam Ernie. I really do. I have a lot of respect for him and the role that he's kind of honestly been somewhat forced to fill on this team. And he's done a pretty darn good job. And honestly, a point you said, kind of piggybacking off that, a point you said there, you know, he was aggressive on the forecheck. The whole team, I thought, was killing the forecheck. I thought that this was a really, really good performance when talking about applying pressure and forwards playing defense. Like, we haven't talked about too many great defensive performances by this forward group a lot this year, really by any group, I guess, this year. But I thought that this was a really good forecheck game. And it you caused a lot of turnovers. You applied pressure in the neutral zone. You like sticks in lanes. Like, it was a really solid defensive showing by the forward group. It just, you know, unfortunately, no offense to back it up tonight. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, low shot total on their end outside of the one goal, especially the first goal, not too many high danger given up either. I mean, it was a pretty decent defensive performance by us as well. It's just, you know, it just wasn't our night.
And that, you know, that happens from time to time. They brought it. And it just didn't work out. And that's perfectly okay. I did also want to mention Pew Suter, top line winger to begin the game. I know there was a little bit of line juggling here and there, but Pew Suter playing on the wing with Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond was not something I had on my bingo board. That's back-to-back games where something just like unorthodox happened. But, you know, Pew Suter in that expanded role, you know, I didn't hate it. Pew Suter is one of those guys who, ever since we've done our midseason grades, has continued to kind of prove himself. And I can see the fit where he's such a defensive-minded forward, placing him on that line with two offensive stalwarts can, well, Larkin's actually really solid two-way, but Lucas Raymond, who's offensive-minded with a D, I can understand the mindset there. And I thought he also had a really good game on the penalty kill. He literally stole the puck away from guys on a back check. It's like three or four times on Nashville Predators power plays. So, Pugh Suter, hell of a game for you too, buddy.
I mean, as it stands, you know, fluid situation, obviously contingent on how he looks the rest of the year. But I think if the season ended today, that we'd be having a conversation about why it makes sense for the Wings to extend Suter. I don't think that's a ridiculous take at all. I think he was one of the candidates to get moved to the deadline, but given his age and his fit on the team and the fact that Steve likes forwards that can play two ways, it wouldn't shock me at all if Pugh Suter was on this team for the next 2 years.
Yeah, he's young and he's just magnificent defensively. So I think that he
the better the Wings get, the lower his role should be. Like, I'm not saying he's like a part of the core or anything, but
oh no, I'm not.
Bro, I know you're not either, but I think a 2 year extension for him to be a bottom six, like really solid defensive forward is a great fit for the Wings. Honestly,
you need penalty killers too. And he can fit that role perfectly.
That's like his forte. That's his thing. Yeah.
I think of all the pending UFAs, he would be candidate number one you would bring back, if anyone. I don't know if there's anyone outside of him that you think you should bring back. Let's see. I mean, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, right? Oh, my God. He's looking around the room. Chaisson,
you know it.
Power play goal. Third game in a row with a power play goal, 5 points in five games, I think it is, for Chaisson.
The dog.
And assisted by Andrew Kopp, who now has a three-game point streak.
Kopp, that's who I was thinking of earlier, too. He had another one-timer as well. A heck of a save on that one. That might have been the save of the night, honestly. Anyway, yeah. I thought Andrew Kopp looked good again tonight, for the record, but that's comfortably the story. We kind of talked about it yesterday, so we don't have to go like too much more in depth, but just a really cool story and another big like body that they can throw in front of the net. And they lost that at the deadline. They lost all of their players that fill that role. And the fact that he's been able to kind of step in and not only fill that role, but fill it and produce, you know, is awesome.
Even though his goal was kind of wonky.
Oh, he kicked it in. Who cares? It was an accident. That's a goal.
It was an accident. It's just funny because he whiffed on the shot, it looked like, or Saros made the initial save, and then it like bounced off three things and found its way to the back of net. But he scored three power play goals from the exact same spot. And it just it reemphasizes what I mean, where, like, I said it earlier in the season, I don't want to put a big guy as a net front presence just because he's big. I want the guy who isn't going to be down there as a net front presence to be actually able to have a finishing ability. And Chaisson clearly he's quite literally in these five games of the Red Wings since getting called up, he is quite literally the power play version of Pugh Suter. He is a guy who doesn't get a lot of ice time. Most of it's going to be on the special teams, but he's effective at that role. I mean, in this game, Scotty, at 5-on-5, Chaisson had 7 minutes and 16 seconds of even strength ice time. That's the least amount of anyone on the team. Yes. But he goes out there and gets a power play goal with 2 minutes left and puts the Red Wings within one, within striking distance.
That's the dog.
And by no means am I going to be like, Chaisson, you know, give him a five-year extension. He's the solution. I understand what Chaisson is.
Extend it for life. Give him.
I understand what Chaisson is, but it's a fun ride right now. You know, you talked about Adam Ernie. We talked about Zarnik, Luff. It's the same thing with Chaisson. These are depth guys that, and credit to Yzerman.
Those are all the dogs. Those are all, that's just a bunch of dogs you just listed off. Well,
and like outside of Adam Ernie, who's been on the team for several years, this was Yzerman's game plan, you know, signing guys who are fringe NHL guys to be depth players in Grand Rapids who can come up when injuries or the deadline happens and actually play meaningful NHL minutes and not just be like AHL below replacement level players. Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean no disrespect, Scotty, because I know you're a big fan of Taro Hirose, but you know, if you didn't sign Matt Luff, if you didn't sign Zarnik, You would have Morosi back up, and Morosi is just not the guy.
Right.
Not trying to pick on him in particular, but as an example.
No, for sure. That's why we talked about it in the offseason a lot. That's why you went out and you brought in a lot of depth, and you brought in a lot of NHL contracts, and you brought in a lot of two-way contracts and whatnot. Like, that point that we made back in July very much stands here March of the following year. Like, that this is exactly why you did that, so that if you sold at the deadline, or if you got injuries, or both, you had NHL quality and NHL talent filling those spots.
Absolutely. So when we come back, we'll wrap up this conversation on the 2-1 loss to the Nashville Predators. I want to talk about the Red Wings defense, because although they did give up 2 goals and they only faced 16 shots, I actually think they played pretty well as well. So we'll talk about that in segment 3. But first, got to talk to you guys today about Built Bars. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, you got to try those Built Bars. What makes them so good? Well, for starters, Scotty, they're covered in a 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond.
Hey, dude. You tried the churro yet?
I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like candy bars while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. We're just going to skate right past that. Scotty, you know what's great about churro?
The fact that it's awesome and you haven't tried it?
Is that you can also find them now?
Sam's Club.
And?
Walmart.
Hell yeah, buddy. Built is no longer just an online shop. They are now at Sam's Club and Walmart. You can get a 13-bar box at Sam's Club that includes brownie, batter, and churro. You can go to Walmart and get a 4-bar box with cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut puffs. Or, as always, the ever-faithful Built.com. Go to all 3 of those. You guys won't regret it. So check out Built Bars. Segment 3, Locked On Red Wings Podcast. Scotty, let's talk about the defensive side of the puck. We talked a lot about how the Red Wings brought the pressure to the Nashville Predators and their defense and goaltending bent but did not break. But the Red Wings held the Nashville Predators also to 16 shots against in this game. And a lot of that has to do with, again, just the sheer amount of puck possession the Red Wings had. The best way to play defense is to just not give the opponent the puck, right? But they did hold them to 16 shots against. And while 2 did go in on Ville Husso, which is going to give him an .875 save percentage, I think we're both in agreement that both of those goals really weren't his fault. One very high danger opportunity.
First one certainly wasn't. Yeah. The first one was like, if you wanted a textbook definition of a high danger shot, that is the video that would come up. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cross crease shot that he had no chance on from Kiefer Sherwood. And then the second goal was a just perfectly timed redirection. And those redirections, goalies typically don't have any chance on. That's on the defense to prevent those redirections. But the defense held them to less than 16 shots against. And, you know, I think obviously Moritz Seider and Jake Walman were great, but so was Olimata in this game. And I think Olimata was actually really good in the offensive zone as well for a guy who literally is not ever sold to you as an offensive upside defenseman. I thought his puck possession skills were really, really excellent in this hockey game.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, the defensive pressure and aggressiveness that the forwards put on Nashville is certainly part of the low shot total as well. But yeah, even when Nashville did get a set in the zone, you know, in the penalty kill, we talked about a little bit as well, but like there were not very many 5-on-5 opportunities for Nashville in this game. And that's really impressive and definitely a testament to the defense.
Yeah, I completely agree. Both Olimata and Ben Chiarot led the Red Wings in expected goals against in this hockey game. 0.07 was their expected goals against at even strength. And, you know, just to show you how little the Nashville Predators had to work with in this game, here's your heat map. We all love the heat map. I mean,
yeah, look at that.
And you know what? And this really shows you offensively how little the Red Wings had to work with in a lot of cases as well. Obviously, you have the fact that they had 28 shots in this game and very few of those attempts. Like, that heat map should be a lot hotter between the dots than it is. And the Red Wings are just kept to outside the dangerous zones where both the Predators' goals came from right out in front of the danger.
Even just like pushed back, like away from the net, but even straight up, you know, like there's just a line going like from the top of the circle straight down. Yeah, dude. Like they just kept everything at arm's length, really, outside of that tiny little blue, dark blue to the left of the goaltender there. Like everything else is pretty much just like there's just no low slot. It's just like all pushed pretty far away there.
Well, on this left side over here, so there's almost nothing in the left circle to the right of UC Saros, and that's where David Perron's wheelhouse is. And that just is a testament to how good the Nashville Predators defense was in this game. Is this is again, look, if you look at the top of this is the unblocked shots heat map. So these are the ones that made it through to UC Saros. None where David Perron is because the defense was so suffocating. And then when you look at, you said that line that runs east to west in the offensive zone from the top of the circle to the top of the circle for the Red Wings shot attempts or just shots in general, you know, this typically would be from the dot to the dot, but it's from top of the circle to top of the circle. And just that extra 4 or 5 feet gives UC Saros an extra amount of time to make the save, extra amount of reaction time. And the Nashville Predators defense just being able to push those shot attempts to that area they played fantastic in this game. But again, Red Wings, look at how little the Nashville Predators had. It's like very light yellow, which the Nashville Predators side runs from green to dark red in terms of heat map. It's light yellow, which is smack dab in the middle of that ranking, so to speak, right in front of the net where those two goals took place. And then it's just green everywhere else that there is any shots, but there's barely any. The Red Wings shut down everything else too, but it just came down to Predators took advantage of theirs and the Red Wings just couldn't beat Saros.
Agreed.
What else you got, Scotty? Is there anything else we need to mention? There's a couple of other things we got to mention.
I mean, I don't know. I guess we can, like, the refs were pretty nitpicky, I thought. Not that won or lost the game, but just in talking about news and notes involving the game, I mean, it's worth noting that there was a lot of penalties called. I think that's probably worth talking about. Huso, I thought, we already talked about it, was good. Yeah, that's probably it.
And just for the record, because, you know, I can't go a single episode without mentioning this, but the Red Wings had a 65, 63, 80% share of Corsi 4 percentage in periods 1, 2, and 3, respectively, for a total of a 70% share of the Corsi 4% Corsi chances shot attempts at 5-on-5 in this game. So the Red Wings had a 70% share of the shot attempts at 5-on-5 in this game as a whole, and a 74.75% of the quality shot attempts in this game at 5-on-5. So, you know, we argue about quantity versus quality, but the Red Wings still dominated that as well. It just comes down to the fact that Nashville got lucky and was able to bury theirs. Right place, right time. Red Wings weren't.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, the last thing I got for you guys is news and notes. We didn't really mention it. We forgot to mention it, in all honesty, on Sunday's episode, but AGM Sean Horkoff said in like a meet and greet that he expects Marco Kasper to come over full time to North America next season, which I would imagine was pretty expected because Simon Evanson spent 1 year overseas after his draft, came over to America.
Looks good.
He also looks good. So it seems to be the trend. I think I would expect William Wallander to come over too at this point. He's had a breakout year with Rogla. So, but yeah, that's
also is going kind of postseason hunting there as well.
So. Rogla just made, yeah, I think they just moved on in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did literally. Yeah. Definitely a cool thing there, but you know, you and I kind of talked about it off air a little bit. I think it was last week we had the conversation, I don't know, but where we were moving under the assumption that he was coming over next year as well and was going to spend probably the entire season in is Grand Rapids the assumption, but we assumed a year of North American ice at least. And it's cool to kind of get that confirmation. And if that means that he's, you know, two seasons removed from maybe seeing him in a winged wheel, that's exciting.
I completely agree. So let us know what you guys think in the comments. You can always reply to our posts on Twitter, our episode posts. Let us know what you thought of the Red Wings game. I know it was frustrating that they lost, but again, I can't be too mad over losses where they play this well. Just couldn't bury the puck. It happens.
Agreed.
You got goalied. Scotty, any final thoughts?
We ball.
All right, we do ball. So we will be back on Thursday with a new episode. Not sure what we're going to be talking about yet, but we'll come up with something. And it's going to be a banger because that's what Scotty and I do.
Dang right.
End the show with a little bit of confidence. So we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team every day.
Every day.